Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage and hosted by Dirk Gray. Well, it's with some sadness and also excitement for the future that today will be the last airing of Gray Matters on 770 KQLB. Near the end of the show, I'll talk more about the privilege it's been to broadcast on News Radio 770 KQLB, the Gray Matters show, and the people that have made the broadcast possible. This show is brought to you by our producer, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, helping you move forward in reverse. Our website is www.reversenm.com. And our office phone number is 505-897-4900 or contact 770kkob.com. And go to the Gray Matters program page. Today on the show, my guests are Miriam Ortiz Epino and Isabel Rojo. Miriam is from More Than Organized, and I think most of us need that, and so I'm looking forward to that. We're going to open up the phone lines, so please, if you'd like to ask Miriam a question, the phone number is 243-3333. Welcome to the show, Miriam.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, where should we start? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm from here. I had a lot of different jobs that all had some organizing involved with them. I seem to like to line things up and create systems. So when I decided to become an entrepreneur and work for myself, it became very obvious that I should try being a professional organizer.
Are you like OCD?
No, not quite that bad. I can be, but I'm not quite that much of a perfectionist.
I can be a little bit that way.
Yeah, I just like to make things easy because I'm basically kind of lazy.
Uh-huh. That makes sense. All right, well, let's talk about how organizing our homes help us simplify our lives.
Well, I find that many people have so much going on and so many things to help them do the things they want to do that they don't have time to actually maintain all the things they've bought to help them do the things they want to do. So it's that loop of, did I have a plan? Why did I buy this thing in the first place? What did I think would happen once I owned it? And now here I am overwhelmed and short on time, and I don't know what to do about it anymore. So just by knowing what you have and where it is, you don't buy a bunch of extra stuff, and you know how to take care of it, and it solves most of the problems before they even happen.
You know what I do just kind of naturally, and Isabel, I think you may do some of this too, is if I don't use something within a fairly reasonable period of time, I just get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to help me. I don't know.
It seems like a logical thing to do, but then we have our minds that play tricks on us and say things like, but you paid good money for it, or, oh, I'm going to use it someday.
Yeah.
And I'm never sure when that someday might be. Uh-huh. Is it a Tuesday? Is it raining? Is it, you know, sunny outside? Has mm-hmm. the dog run into the street? What is this special day you're saving that thing for?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Makes sense. How do you start the process of organizing a home?
I actually start with what my client would like to achieve. What is their desired outcome? Do they want just a clean and neat space, or do they want to create space to create something new? And what their life looks like. Many people don't stop to think what they want their life to be. And so they can't possibly get organized for it because they don't know what it is. It's like, you know, going on a drive without a map.
So when you sit down, let's say that you and I were meeting for the first time and mm-hmm. we were talking about doing this. What's that conversation sound like?
I usually ask, well, what prompted you to call me in the first place? What was the frustration or the tipping point that made you think you need help getting organized?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm overwhelmed. Let's say that.
Yeah. So what is overwhelming to you?
I just have too much stuff.
And is it in your way?
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah. So is it hurting you? Like,
no,
did it fall on you or stub your
toe? I'm not a hoarder.
Don't have to be to have it hurt you. Sometimes you open a cabinet and something falls out. sometimes you open your closet and you realize you can't reclose the closet door because things shift just enough. Mm-hmm. And then you can't get ready for work easily. And then you're boss is threatening to fire you. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that your stuff can cause overwhelm. So we kind of explore it from there, like what is actually happening for you, and would it be easier to live your life every day if that stuff was no longer a problem?
So then you actually go into the home and look at things and make recommendations and...
Yes. Unfortunately, the process does involve looking at each and everything you own and why you have it and where the best place to keep it is.
Okay. Yeah.
I know, it's scary. We do it in little spurts to keep motivated, and incremental improvements help keep the process moving forward.
Well, how much does organization have to do with the physical objects in the home? I mean, you talked a little bit about that, but...
Yeah, it's actually not that much. I would say 30% or so is about the actual stuff. Most of it is about how we think about our stuff, our relationship with our stuff. So either, you know, I brought up we paid good money for it. We might need it someday. It's good intentions. I got this for someone else. I just haven't given it to them yet. Or I was going to do this in my yard, and so I bought all this yard stuff, and things changed, and I moved, and so that didn't happen. You know, there's all these... intended things. And then there's always a lot of indecision. So most clutter is actually decisions that you put off till later. Like, oh, well, I'll deal with that when I have time. Mm-hmm. That mythical day you have time. So just by helping people learn to make better decisions, we can get through the stuff pretty quickly. But it's the mental part, the decision making.
Okay, just a general question. On a scale of like 1 to 10,
uh-huh.
How many people are fairly organized?
10%.
10.
20 maybe at the most. A lot of people are right on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
About 3% are probably high performers. I don't know.
And what
I don't
is
know that? If anyone's actually studied. I'm just making this up.
Well, no, you know what? You probably have a good idea.
Yeah. 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 Most people could use some help getting organized. It's one of those things that's a learned skill that we don't teach anywhere. So people think they should be able to do it themselves, but we no longer teach home ec. We no longer teach home management. Mm-hmm. We no longer have parents that are home to teach us how to set up a home. I have a lot of clients that their parents didn't teach them how to set up a home. They just were like, oh, I'm an adult now. I don't actually know how to do laundry because my mom's been doing it for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different cultural things that have happened that make us less organized. The information age deludes us with so much information every single day. And it all seems important and necessary, and we should pay attention, but it's not.
How do your clients find you?
Well, I try to be a little bit everywhere all the time. So I have a pretty strong online presence and local networking and lots of word of mouth and referrals, because mm-hmm. my clients are pretty happy.
Oh, no, well, you definitely have a grasp of this, so I bet they are. Why do people hang on to so many things?
Indecision. They haven't made a decision about it. They haven't connected it to why they need to keep it. And so there's kind of a surface level of reasoning that they give to why they have something. I paid good money for it. I intend to use it for something. Or, oh, it's for this special scenario. But when you ask a little bit deeper, they don't really know. It's the default answers, those toss-off answers. And when you really look at why you're doing things the way you're doing them, it's usually something tied to a big, deep hole in your heart, unfortunately.
Well, that makes sense. It's an emotional thing.
It's definitely an emotional thing. So people will, I'm a collector, or I'm just sentimental, and all those things. And it's like, but why? Is that. Mm-hmm. It's not as important why as what do you want to do instead. It's not working for you up to this point, so let's not hang on to that belief anymore. Let's change that belief, adapt your behavior, develop new habits.
Okay, here's a question that, well, actually, Bob's telling me it's time to take a break. Give us your contact information.
Best way is morethanorganized.net or 243-4356.
All right, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters discussing all things senior. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, with your host, Dirt Gray. Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, is heard live weekly on Saturdays, beginning at 12 p.m. Mountain Time, and streams to a global audience on 770KQOB.com. All right, before I continue my conversation with Miriam about organization, in our segment called Because You're a Senior, These Are Available to You, last week we discussed Bed Bath & Beyond 10% off with email sign up, and Hallmark cards 10% off one day a week, and it varies by location. This week, the specials are Jiffy Lube Services. They're offering 10% off services and or parts for those that are 55 plus. And Pep Boys also is offering 10% off on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays to those that are 55 plus. All right. Back to you, Miriam.
Hello.
I'm enjoying this. It's interesting. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question about gender specific. Are men more likely not to organize certain things or organize certain? Are there differences between the men and the women that you see kind of in general?
A little bit. Women are way more worried about it. Men hide it better. So. Men tend to have that drawer in the top of their dresser or in their desk where everything comes out of their pockets every night, and it just goes into the drawer without being dealt with. So it might have receipts and gum wrappers and change and golf tees and paper clips and all that stuff that's accumulated during the day. And they think, I'll do it later. I'm tired right now. I'm just going to get ready for bed. Mm-hmm. And so it hides. And they don't think about it until the drawer is full. And then usually they just start a new drawer. Women, on the other hand, will accumulate things and think they need more space or a better container to be able to squeeze more in. And when it doesn't work and the stuff starts piling up outside of the intended place to keep the stuff, then they feel bad about themselves. And so it gets worse because they go buy more containers to solve the problem or another thing to make themselves feel better about it. And they never actually solve the problem. So women often have the space in the drawers or the cabinets for all the stuff they want. They just never get around to putting it in there. And men always put it in there and pretend they don't have a problem.
Well, interesting.
Yeah.
So our listeners, if you'd like to ask Miriam a question, the phone number is 243-3333, and I'm sure she'd be happy to answer any questions you have. Give us your contact information, Miriam.
It's morethanorganized.net. There's lots of free resources on my website, and I have a blog on there, so you can get started for free. And then you can call me, 505-243-4356.
Okay, great. Why is it important to consider what we choose to live with in our homes?
Because we are in control of our own lives. Even when you don't think you are, you actually have the ability to control what is in your life. So if your clutter is bothering you, you can get rid of clutter. Even if it's a person. So I know it seems extreme, but occasionally it's the person. But instead we throw our hands up and say, oh, I'm just not good at it. I can't do it. But like I said earlier, we just haven't learned how to do it properly. And you have to tie your brain, your body, and your space all together so that you know what works.
Okay, so you just brought up something. You brought up the possibility of maybe getting rid of a person as part of the organizational process.
Yes.
What areas do you work in? We're talking about the home, and but what other areas do you work in?
So I'm also a trained coach. So I work mostly with residential. Most of my clients are some sort of artist or entrepreneur that work from home or have some sort of flex schedule where they do some of their work from home. And so I also work mostly in home offices. And then we take it from there. Because I think everything's connected, especially if you work from home. It means you wanted a certain lifestyle that was to afford a little bit of freedom and flexibility. But when you have the distraction of the refrigerator and the television and your friends calling for lunch, it's hard to stay focused and get work done.
Yeah, Lois and I have three dogs, and one of them in particular loves just, she wants me to hold her all the time. And I look at those beautiful little eyes, and it's like, I can't not pick her up. But it's distracting,
right,
you know, when I'm trying to get work done, so that speaks to that.
Yeah.
What emotional issues are involved?
It's usually feelings of not good enough, or I'm not doing it right. And so there can be a fear of not doing things properly or correctly. And so you just kind of freeze and don't do anything. Or you buy something that someone suggested, and when it doesn't work, then you feel like you can't actually do it. So you end up teaching yourself that you can't do it if something doesn't work just right the first time. When really it's a learning process, and it requires a little bit of tweaking and adapting and adjusting as things change and evolve.
You know, somebody, I actually know somebody that is continually buying things. Mm-hmm. I mean, just buys things all the time. And she'll have multiple of very similar items.
Right.
Do you see that?
Yeah. We have a culture that is, they bombard us with advertisements. Mm-hmm. I know this is an advertised generating machine here on the radio, but it's to get you to buy things.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to play with your psychology and your emotions and tell you you need something and it's going to solve all your problems. When really often it's the actually making a decision about what you want that'll make you happier than just buying something that's supposed to fix it and not having it work out.
How often do you run? You know, I'm fortunate because my partner and I pretty much look at everything the same way. So if she says, you know, I think this looks good there, we're almost always in agreement about that type of thing. How often do you see headbutting and differences of opinion?
I actually run across it fairly often. But it goes to a little bit of the lack of control over your life. Like a lot of people kind of do things by default. Oh, I don't want to confront, so I'll just let them get away with this or do this thing their way for a long time. And then at some point, it's like, I can't deal anymore. I don't want clutter everywhere, or I don't like that painting, or I don't like that chair. And then it boils up in some other way because they didn't have a plan for decision making in the first place. And so stuff sneaks in over time, and then you have to deal with it at some point. And especially as people are aging and they think, oh, maybe we should downsize, or maybe, oh, I'm now retired and I said I was going to go through all the stuff for the kids one day. One day is kind of sneaking up on them, and all of a sudden they realize, oh, I don't like any of that stuff. Why did we get that? I can't believe he bought that stuff. I can't believe she got that. Where did that come from? And it can bring up a lot of things that just were defaulted because they didn't make decisions together.
Well, you know, something recently, I mean, within the last three or four nights, Lois and I had a conversation about going through some things and getting rid of some art and just other things to kind of simplify and also to give the kids some things.
Right.
And so we're actually beginning that conversation. It's interesting as you get older.
Yeah, and so many people think that their kids are going to want or aren't going to want certain things. And I think it's a really important way to open up the conversation about the end of life and what's going to happen and transfer of assets and things. That if everybody's involved, you get a much better result than when everyone's fighting about it after, during grief. And it's surprising how few people are interested in having that conversation ahead of time.
Okay, let's talk about this. You know, we want things in our homes to be organized, but we also want them to look good. Mm-hmm. How do you combine the two?
Oh, it's easy.
For you.
Well, if you know what you want, that's going to inform your aesthetic, and that's going to inform the containers that you do use to store the things that you are keeping, and it will all be in alignment if you've actually made decisions based on what you truly want and your own values.
You're a container person. You like containers.
Actually, I don't.
You don't?
I'm like one of those weird anomalies in the organizing industry. I like beautiful containers when necessary, but I only containerize if things are falling over without help. So I like to buy things for their own aestheticness, whatever that word would be.
The beauty.
Yeah. And so most of my things stand alone, although I will store things in a beautiful vase. I will store things in a beautiful mug on my desk. You know, I use beautiful things to store the things I use. But if that doesn't exist, I will go buy a thing to hold my silverware in the kitchen drawer, but only because it slides around and gets messed up if I don't.
Okay. Give us your contact information.
505-243-4356 or morethanorganized.net.
Great. All right. Bob's telling me it's time for a break. You're listening to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. I'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirk Gray. All right, we're going to go back to Miriam for a few more questions on organizing and finish that up. And then I'm going to do just some general talking about reverse mortgages to end the third segment. What's the key to staying organized?
Knowing why you have your things and how you're going to use them. And resetting your space when you're done using it. So you can't keep your kitchen organized if you don't actually do your dishes and put them away. You can't keep your closet organized if you don't do your laundry, fold it, and put it away. So you have to have the system for the workflow.
Okay. That's it. Okay. So let's break that down a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Talk about timing. Is there, like you're talking about working in the kitchen.
Right.
How do some people do it better than others?
Well, I think it's, you know, if you think about it, like what they do at a restaurant, they prep the food, they set up, they cook the food, they serve you, and then they clean up and reset so they can come back the next day and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
At home, we tend to throw something in the microwave or in the oven, and then we eat it in front of the TV, and then we put it on the counter or into the dishwasher and never start it, or complain that the kids or the husband didn't actually put the stuff away in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the food is left out and sometimes it's not. And it just that end step or two of cleanup and reset for the next session is ignored by a large amount of people.
Okay. You know what? I want to go back and to a question that I asked you earlier about the different things that you talk about organizing.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked at one point, I think on break, about people's minds.
Yeah.
Right? Talk about that. What's that mean?
So that's part of it. The fact that to be organized, you actually have to understand that it is a process and a habit that has to be formed. So there has to be the creation of a system, and you have to do it over and over until you have it as a routine and a habit. And then it takes so much less time, because every time you do a habit or a routine in the same order, the steps in the same order, you get more effective and efficient about it. So the first time you do something, you're learning and your body's adapting to new movements and your brain is having to think through what you're doing. The next time you do it, it's a little bit easier. And every time after that you do it, it's easier and easier until it becomes kind of unconscious. Mm-hmm. You don't get in your car now and go, okay, I have to put the key in the ignition. I have to put the seatbelt on. I have to adjust the mirrors. I have to take off the emergency brake. No, you just get in the car and you go.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done all those things kind of without thinking about them. Mm-hmm. You're saving time and energy because it's a habit now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you broke it down, you would do it in the same way every time you do it. But most people don't do that for their household systems. So,
okay, talk about how we find time to get organized.
It's the same thing. It's incremental steps. So the first time you actually just have to schedule it and start. And as you go, you save a little bit more time every session, because you're making things more efficient around the house. So on average, after working with me, people are saving 2 hours a day and about $600 a month.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So they need to call Miriam.
Exactly.
So I want to remind our listeners to call at 243-3333 if you'd like to ask Miriam a question about this. What do you say to people that think organizing doesn't help or work?
I say they're not doing it right. Because what they're doing is rearranging or cleaning up and tidying and not creating the system that allows it to stay for a long time. They are putting things away and hiding them and then wondering why they can't find them later. So they're tearing everything back open and out and pulling stuff out of drawers and cabinets. And then they go, well, it didn't work. Well, that's because you didn't think through where you put it in the cabinet and how you were going to use it. And so you couldn't find it. Yeah.
It's fascinating. What do you say to people that say they can do it themselves?
I say, why haven't you done it yet? it goes to like, yeah, we could watch a YouTube video and learn how to do it and do it poorly and wrong and then think we can't do it and never get around to it. Or we could get the help we need to learn it correctly. We would not think we could do surgery ourselves, even though technically you could hold a scalpel and cut into your own arm. You wouldn't do that.
Yeah, use somebody that can teach you the efficiencies.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Miriam, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure having you. Okay, give us your contact information again.
505-243-4356 or morethanorganized.net.
Okay, great. All right. Well, through the end of this segment, I want to talk about, because it's our last show with KKOB, I want to spend some time talking about reverse mortgages and just go back to the basics and take a little bit deeper dive, but not an awful lot. A reverse mortgage is a loan against the existing equity in your home that does not come due for repayment for as long as you live in the subject property. And typically they're done for two reasons. One is financing your current home. And this usage is the typical type of reverse mortgage transaction. And it's the one most often, that's generally considered or thought to be a reverse mortgage. Very often a senior homeowner will pursue a reverse mortgage in order to pay off an existing lien or liens on a home and eliminate the monthly mortgage payments. The existing liens must be paid off with the HECM reverse mortgage before leftover cash. If there's anything left over, then it's made available to the borrower. Once the existing lien, if any, has been paid off by the HECM reverse mortgage, the remaining equity can be tapped into several different ways. So that's, you know, we probably do that 50-60% of the time. We pay off a lien. The senior or the homeowner doesn't have a principal and interest payment any longer, but they will continue to pay their property taxes and their insurance and also the maintenance on the house. But we see quite a bit of that. And then the second that we won't get into today, but it's a reverse for purchase. You can actually purchase a home with a reverse mortgage, and very few people really understand it, and that includes the realtors out there. But if that's something you'd like to discuss and find out some of the advantages of doing a reverse for purchase, call us at our office. The office number is 897-4900, and we'll give you some more information. All right, we talked a little bit about taxes and insurance. Once a reverse mortgage is in place, you'll still be responsible for those taxes, insurance, and normal home maintenance. Just like always, it's just like having a regular mortgage from that standpoint. It's just pretty straightforward. Maintain your property, you know, pay the tax man and your insurance carrier. Let's talk a little bit about how a reverse is paid off. And this is one of probably... Okay, I've got a question from Gene on reverse mortgage. Hi, Gene. Welcome to the show.
How are we doing? I got a question for you. I have a neighbor that passed away last year, and he had a reverse mortgage. And my question is, somehow the bank still owns the paper, yet somebody moved into that house, bought something called a right of rescission from one of the existing relatives for $1,500, and had it notarized in the court. And the last time I tried to buy a foreclosure on my block, it took me 6 months to close that deal, even though it was all cash. How in the world does somebody buy the property if it's already in a mortgage?
You know something, Gene? I'd have to have a lot more information. Let me make this suggestion. Call us the early part of next week, and we'll get more information from you and see if we can't help you. Let me give you the office number. It's 897-4900. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Appreciate the call, Gene.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, I started to talk about the misconception about probably the largest misconception about reverse mortgages is that the bank ends up with the home. And that's just not true. You or your heirs can never be legally responsible for more than the home is worth, even if the mortgage balance exceeds the value of the home. You're protected by what's called the non-recourse clause that's written into the HECM reverse mortgage that is insured by FHA. You or your estate are not responsible for any amount over the value of the home. Also, your home can continue to appreciate just the same as today, increasing the equity as time progresses. All right. Well, Bob's telling me it's time for a break. I want to give you our contact information at New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. Our phone number is 897-4900. I'm Dirt Gray, and we'll be back shortly. All right. Welcome back to Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage with your host, Dirt Gray. My next guest is Isabella Rojo. I've known Isabel for a number of years. She's a Santa Fe resident. And you know what? I wanted to close the program with a true senior, because that's what this is all about. She is just a beautiful person, inside and out, and I thought she'd be a pleasure for you all to get to know. So, Isabel, talk about your background.
Well, I arrived in New Mexico in 84. And I came here with a degree from Bennington College in Vermont. And that's where I got my information from, what we call the book at Bennington College. And it was from the alumni. And there was a paragraph in there that said, room and board and a stipend, Taos, New Mexico. And I had been exploring the West Coast and decided Taos just rang for me. And so I went to work for Beatrice Mandelman, who'd been an artist in New Mexico since 1944. So I was in for a great surprise.
And you came out by yourself, I think, in a
yes,
Volkswagen Beetle, right?
A 1976 navy blue Beetle. She was a cute bug. And got me around New Mexico and fell in love with New Mexico, and it opened its doors to me.
So you were in Taos first?
Yes, I came from Vermont to Taos.
And how long were you in Taos, Izzy?
I was there for a year, and then I decided that it was time for me to go to a bigger place, and I chose Santa Fe, and that began the next chapter of my journey in New Mexico. I started a company because I had been living in Europe and loved people, and I loved all the pueblos, I loved all the history and culture that New Mexico offered, and I'd never been any place that I was so intrigued with. It was primitive, and it reminded me of Europe, and the people here were so open and nice. And the doors just opened up to me.
Why did it remind you of Europe?
The landscape was a lot like Spain. I raised my kids in Spain. And it had that same feeling and the openness of the people. I don't know. It's a very old land.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel that when you come here. And when it rings for you, it really lets you know that. It accepts you.
What? Let's talk about the business that you created, and talk about it kind of over the years, Izzy.
Well, it started having an art degree in liberal arts from Bennington. My dream was to become, you know, this great, fantastic sculptor and just do art. Well, I found out quickly that I had to make a living. So little by little, it was just by accident, I had a job in a gallery and met this man that created a tour company in La Fonda. And we would sit every day, and I had this job at a gallery, and he would tell me about New Mexico. And then one day said, why don't you buy my business? I thought about it and was able to put together enough money to pay half and bring in a partner, and so that was the beginning. I didn't know if I'd be any good at it, but I found out that I was a natural at it. So I got out of the partnership and then created what I thought I really wanted to do with my life, and this what became a passion. And over the years, I have done some extraordinary things. I did the first time for volcanologists to come to a conference in Santa Fe, almost close to 2,000 people. We had 39 countries. It really turned into a fantastic business. But more than that, I was able to use my creative talent and to be able to really enjoy what I was doing and earn a living at it, plus do my art.
All right. Well, you know what, Izzy? Our time's up because I've got to spend some time talking about the show ending. But you know what? I'm so glad that you came on the show with me for our final show here on KKLB.
Thank you. You honor me as well. Thank you.
All right. Well, this being our last show, I have a number of people that I want to thank. First and foremost is my wife, Lois. She got the short end of the stick as far as I'm concerned, but just my wonderful life's partner. My New Mexico reverse mortgage team, Mace and Kara Kokendurfer, the owners and managers of New Mexico Reverse Mortgage. Without Mace and Kara's support, this show would have never occurred, and so I'll forever be indebted to them. Gordon Mitchell, one of my cohorts, educator and a loan officer. Amanda Snow is the executive assistant to Mace. She's kind of the all-around superwoman in the office. And then Paul Lockman, our processor. We've got a wonderful team of people, and I'm very thankful for them. Also, my KKOB team, Pat Frisch, the program director, for supporting our vision of Gray Matters. My producers, originally Mike Vitel, then Jim Fries, and now Bob Wopo. Bob has kind of been he's not old enough to be my father, but he's been quite a mentor. You know, he'll tell me, Dirk, you're not close enough to the mic, or, you know, this, that, and the other. And then if the show went real well, he'll say, Dirk, great show. So I've really enjoyed working with Bob. I also want to thank all of our seniors. You know, you're the reason the show exists, from listening to the show, your encouragement that you've given me. Our average client is at New Mexico Reverse is 71 years old. And one of my favorite things about them is they have wonderful stories. And within those stories are little nuggets of wisdom, and I just love working with you guys. We had a variety of topics that I won't get into, but just lots and lots of them. I want to thank Miriam for being on the show today, and also Isabel. I want to thank my producer, Bob, as well as the 770 KQOB team for making Gray Matters, discussing all things senior, produced by New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, your favorite place for all things senior, and you, our audience, for joining today's broadcast. Thank you for listening to the voice for reverse mortgages and seniors in New Mexico. If you'd like to call, the office phone number is 505-897-4900, or go to 770kqob.com. My NMLS number is 222-785. New Mexico Reverse Mortgages NMLS number is 1102656. This information is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or a government agency. If the borrower does not meet certain loan obligations, such as taxes and insurance, then the loan will need to be repaid. The information given during the show is not meant to be all-inclusive. Any guests on the show are not endorsed by Gray Matters, New Mexico Reverse Mortgage, or KKOB. And with the remaining time, I want to talk a little bit about our company. New Mexico Reverse Mortgage is a company, when you guys decide to engage us or want information about a reverse mortgage, the way that Mace has structured the entire process is it's educational. We don't want you to do or act before we know and you know that you're very comfortable with that process. So if you have the desire to learn more about reverse mortgages, give us a call. We'd be honored to have you. I want to thank you for joining me on the show. I'm Dirk Gray.